like when I was much younger. You know, there wasn't any internet wasn't there. There wasn't any social media.
Hallo en welkom bij aflevering 137 van de Ed Honing Show. Waar het draait om hoe je online meer resultaat boekt voor jouw bedrijf. Hoe je als ondernemer online gebruikt voor meer klanten en omzet. Mijn naam is Ed Honing en ik neem ondernemers met een team met werk uit handen voor online resultaat. Vandaag het gesprek met Christina J.S. Deze aflevering is in het Engels, dus we gaan nu over naar het Engels. I am a success fashionista, a profit addict, a winner and a champion. I'm a personal and business growth enthusiast and I'm an advocate of visualizing, sharing and growing ideas in an infinite collaborative space. I work with skeptics, neurotics and overthinkers everywhere. I inspire you to grow. I help you to do something more. The conversation with Christina starts with going back to her youth. And it took me a while to get into the conversation. But it was really interesting because we talked about how her mother and father influenced her on sales. Both her parents were entrepreneurs. One pushed her to direct sales. Don't come back without a client, was one of the remarks. While the other one gave her the experience to listen first. Let the customer talk. These experiences makes her very successful in selling today without much of an internet presence. In the last years, she combined sales, marketing, and data to grow the business of her clients. At the end of the conversation, I realized I had learned a lot about effective sales and growth. So thank you, Christina. And come join me, listen to the insights of Christina. Let's get started.
Welkom in de Erno Honing Show. De podcast waarin je alles leert over de online sales funnel. Met succesvolle ondernemers en experts, praktische tips en tools die je helpen voor meer resultaat online. Dan nu, jouw online sales funnel expert, Erno Honing.
Deze podcast aflevering wordt mede mogelijk gemaakt door Skyberate. De laadtijd van mijn website was niet goed. Een laadtijd langer dan 2 seconden kost me al bezoekers en klanten. Na een degelijk onderzoek van verschillende hostingbedrijven kwam ik uit bij Skyberate. ErnoHoning.nl wordt nu gehost door deze partner, die gespecialiseerd is in hosting van WordPress-websites en Magento-webshops. Skyberate is de partner voor mij waar ik op dit moment heel blij van word. Ben jij op zoek naar een betere en vooral snellere hosting voor je website? Dat zich dan weer vertaalt in meer bezoekers en klanten? Kijk dan op ernohanning.nl/Skyberate. Skyberate, Skyberate. Dankjewel. So today we'll be talking probably a little bit about growth hacking, about social selling, about digital strategy. Because I have with me today Christina. Welcome, Christina, in the podcast.
Thank you very much. I am very honored to be talking to you today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You have been an entrepreneur since 2004.
That's correct.
And you have been in the area of growth hacking and social selling since 2015, if I saw it right.
That's true.
What did you do before 2004? What did you do before you became an entrepreneur?
I spent quite some time with my parents' company. Both of my parents were entrepreneurs, so I spent quite some time, either working for my mother or working for my father, or most likely working for both of them. And then when I actually moved to UK, I was working for two software engineers who created a product, but they didn't want to sell it or do the marketing for the product. And I was interested in this product, and I said to myself, I don't know anybody in UK, not a single soul, a little bit like a virgin country to me. I didn't have any contact. So I was looking at their product and I said, okay, I help you to sell this product. So I created the whole sales and marketing from scratch, which was a very steep learning curve. And the second thing why it was a little bit steep learning curve was that it was in an area of wealth management banks. And banks in general are a little bit difficult to handle because they don't usually give you any referrals. It's a little bit difficult to make appointments. And I was, of course, living in the country. I didn't know a single soul. I didn't have any contacts here early on. So I was selling a software product to banks, wealth management banks. And that's how I got started. And I have to, you know, there were many times when I was, my back was against the wall and I was thinking, you know, how on earth I can do this, how on earth I can move on. But there is one thing which is so true if we talk about who is an entrepreneur and who isn't, and that word is perseverance. There's a lot of things which make a person a good entrepreneur, but one of them, in my opinion, is certainly being very persistent. Just like most people understand, don't give up, just continue. It is it's easy to say, it's not always easy to do, but that is the truth. There is no straight line from A to B. Success is not a straight line, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
It is up and down, and a lot of them, and a lot of searching your own mission and searching, is this what I want to do, and what is the line, I don't know if I'm going to do this, and am I in, even talking to the right people, is this product a good market fit? But that's an excellent way to understand if the product is a good market fit. And at the same time, it's an excellent way to understand yourself as a person, and what do you want to do. Are you going to be an entrepreneur? Are you going to work for yourself? Or are you going to work for someone else? There's only two things. You either work for yourself or you work for someone else. And this way gives you an idea of what is it exactly you like to do. In my case, what did I like to do? There were certain elements I certainly liked, because I like my own freedom. I like to do whatever I wanted to do. I didn't like to sort of say 9 to 5, whatever is written in my job description, that's what I do. I wanted to do everything. I wanted this product to be sold.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make money. I wanted to be successful. I wanted to win. And not just once, you know, every single day. I wanted to find clients. I wanted to talk to clients. All these kind of things. And that's what I did before I started to do different things, because unfortunately this company and this product was like one trick pony, you know, one product only. Banks, you can't get referrals most likely. So, you know, I have to just think about what else I was going to do when I got almost the full market saturation.
So when I'm going back just before that, with your parents, what's the business that your parents were in?
Oh, my mother had a catering business, and my father had a haulage business.
What business?
Haulage business.
What is it? What does it mean?
Having trucks and lorries.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And my mother had a catering business, so she had a cafeteria, and inside that cafeteria was a little shop, and she also providing private catering services. So her business was less capital intensive. Just to understand, if you go and buy a truck or a lorry, that will cost you upfront money.
Yeah.
But that's what you need if you're going to be in the haulage business, because that's what people hire you. They hire you plus your vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be in transport business, you're probably going to be moving somebody's goods from A to B, and because they don't have the vehicle to do that, it's going to be your vehicle. So
mm-hmm.
Mother's business was very capital intensive, and my mother and father were very different type of entrepreneurs. My mother was very very much like, hey, go and get me a client, and go and talk to strangers. And I felt very often that, you know, mother, you did tell me that don't speak to any strangers, and now you want me to go look for clients. And she said, yes, don't come back from school without finding me a new client. And I find this, I first thought that my mother was exceedingly cruel as her mother. I said, and what did I do to deserve a mother like this? But afterwards, I understood her message. She wanted me to be a little bit more bold, talk to people, and particularly listen to people. My father was completely different. He didn't ask me to do anything like, you know, go and find a client, because clients, you know, you seldom meet them somewhere. You know them, or you approach them in a little bit different way. But there were plenty of people at my school who were interested in, you know, all kinds of events, and they were interested in somebody who can do catering for them. And of course, the cafeteria was very popular, so I could easily talk to them about, let's have a cup of coffee. Guess where we were having a cup of coffee at the cafeteria. So there were different kind of approaches, and I learned from both of them. I learned a lot. So in a way, I feel very fortunate that I had parents who were entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I can imagine. So for your mother, you were the salesperson.
For my mother, I was very much like a traditional salesperson, someone who, you know, does the pushing. You know, why don't you have a look what we have? You know, do you have any events? Can we do some catering for you? That kind of a person who, you know, instead of waiting the opportunity to come, is actively looking for opportunities. And that was very, very valuable, because sales is a hard, quite a hard business, quite a hard profession in a way. The reason I would say to, you know, take some thick skin is that you will get a lot of rejections no matter who you are and whom you speak to. Not everybody is interested in your business. Not everybody likes you, not everybody likes your products, not everybody even understands what you're trying to sell. I mean, let's face it, the famous sell me this pen exercise, it's not about the pen, it's about the person.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to sell everything, you know, you think your clients are just the whole world, anybody who eats, you know, is capable of being your clients. That's not actually the case. That's what the selling the pen exercise is all about. You have to understand your clients so well that you don't go and talk to everybody, because you might be wasting your time. I mean, a client is somebody who's interested in your product, needs the product, plus has the money. If there's no money, no matter what your client needs, that's not a client, because they can afford your product. So you might be talking to someone who really likes what you are doing, likes the product, likes the service, but simply doesn't have any money. So you're wasting your time.
Mm-hmm. So, and what is the most important part that you learned from your dad?
Well, my father actually taught me how to handle people. Because there was a time when he was severely ill, and he said to me, why don't you take care of my business after being in the hospital? And we didn't actually know what was wrong with him. And I said to myself, good Lord, I'm a pre-teenager, and I have to talk to the drivers and say to them that, you know, this is the culture of the company, that, for instance, you're not allowed to drink any beer whilst you have your lunch break. And they were thinking, they were treating me as boss's daughter, like no authority, no nothing. Look who is talking. And I was thinking that I don't even have a driving license. I simply cannot lose the whole business. It has taken my father about 2 decades to build the business. And I was thinking, in 2 weeks' time, I could just simply destroy the whole business. And that made me exceedingly nervous. So I learned to talk to people in a way that I don't come across as a person who says, this is the only way, you know, business is done in this company. There is no other way. I'm the last. If I'm sitting in the meeting, I'm the last one who opens up my mouth. Everybody else speaks first. And then I open up my mouth. I learned to listen to people. I learned to respect them. I learned to understand their needs. I learned to think about why they work here. And that was an exceedingly valuable lesson. The time my father was away was exceedingly stressful time to me because, of course, I was a young teenager, not a teenager, 13-year-old girl, no driving license, trying to talk to adult men about what they can do and cannot do during the lunch break. But I explained to them why, actually, because we had a couple of clients. The clients didn't exactly complain. They were not exactly unhappy about the service we were offering. They were just a little bit unhappy the way the service was offered. You know, that sometimes they said that in a hot summer day, we noticed that some of your drivers smell as if they've been drinking a couple of beers. And that, you know, it's not illegal to drink a couple of beers, but sometimes people say that, hey, if you drink, you don't drive. And that's like 100%, not even a drop of alcohol. Mm-hmm. That's what the issue was about. So I understood that it wasn't exactly legal what they were doing, but I have to talk to them because it came from the clients. And the clients, you never want to lose them. So you want at least to make sure that the clients, employees understand that these are the concerns of your clients. Mm-hmm. So I when we were sitting in the meeting, I let them know that this is not, you know, that my own idea, that I just want to show that, hey, I'm the boss's daughter and I tell you whatever I like to tell you. And if I have an issue with you, let me just make sure you understand it. No, I said, you know, this is something a couple of clients have actually let me know, and I want to share this with you. I use the word share instead of saying this came from my own head. Yeah. And that was my way of talking to them, that they knew exactly that, hey, I don't have the knowledge to run a business. I'm just there because circumstances were a little bit against my father, that he has to be in the hospital at that time.
So the way I translated it is that, because in 2 years ago you switched to social selling, is that the basis of social selling was created in the two businesses, the selling, the hard selling with your mother, and the listening and doing things together with the clients was from your father. So the combination, for me, it sounds like became social selling for you.
Well, I would say that we live in a very different type of the world, like when I was much younger. You know, there wasn't any internet wasn't there. There wasn't any social media. But nowadays, I would say that everybody is when people are actually looking for, or actually not even looking for, but interested in something, most likely it's someone they know who says something to them. And most likely it might be in social media, you know, some product saying, you know, they might be running simply brand awareness campaigns, something like that. And people talk before they actually are seriously interested in buying the product. They know probably more about the product than the salesperson. So, and people look at reviews, they look at what customers, potential customers, they look at the so-called noise on the internet in a very different way than, let's say, 20 years ago. But selling is selling. Selling simply means that, you know, you find your clients, but nowadays we find the clients in a different way. Let me give you an example of what I how I think the world has changed. You know, we have people who are telemarketers, but in my opinion, sometimes the targeted ads does the better job than someone who's a telemarketer, because targeted ads, you can run them 24/7. If you have a telemarketer, that human being, you can't ask them to work 24 hours in a day. If you think about telemarketing and targeted ads, you know, telemarketers are people who call potential clients. But I would sort of say that in because it's usually a human being who does the calling, you know, you have 8 hours and nobody actually works 8 hours. There is some breaks and nobody makes 8 hours of pure phone calls. But if you do targeting ads, you might get much better results. Why is that? Because you can run your ad campaigns 24 hours in a day. Plus, you get an awful lot of data. And that data can be analyzed. And that data is so exceedingly valuable. You can compare your data to your competitors. That's how you can improve. Without that data, how do you know how to improve? So that's the difference between, you know, marketing 20 years ago, selling 20 years ago, and selling and marketing today.
Mm-hmm. And how do you combine that with growth marketing?
Well, I would, in my opinion, someone who, you know, the growth hacking or the growth hackers is someone who is a marketer but exceedingly good at data. So someone who actually knows how to use the data. I would like to think about that someone who is certainly knows a lot of about programming or coding, but also about data science. You know, someone who can actually use the vast amount of data which is available to the benefit of the company or the product or the service.
And what is a good tip that I could use? Because you have an article about the 15 tips about growth hacking. What is a good tips that I can use that to improve my business with some small growth hacking tips?
Well, I would use the words of Tony Robbins and say, love your clients, love your customer. So know everything and anything about your customer. So that's crucial. The second thing is that do what other people don't do. So be exceedingly open and creative to new ideas. So test everything is my last tip. So whatever you do, just test it. Run as many tests as you can. I don't think you can ever run too many tests. But to summarize, know your clients, do whatever your competitors are not doing. I mean, by all means, have a look at what they do, but just don't copy them. Do things in a different way. And last but not least, test everything as many times as it's necessary.
So now I am a small business owner as a listener. Mm-hmm. So how do I easily test, for example, my sales page?
Well, you can use there's so much software available. You can certainly use so-called heat map software, which tells where the users are. You can also, you know, I would always start with Google Analytics and become exceedingly good. First of all, you have to know what you want to test. So you have to have some kind of idea what you want to get. What is it that you actually want? And nobody can give you that idea. You might want to have people who live in a particular country, or, you know, use particular type of operating system, or use a phone versus laptop or computer or tablet. You know, this is something what you know. You know, this is something you decide before you start doing anything else. This is something you said, this is what I want. You might want to have people who sign up for your newsletter, people who wants to buy your product, people who want to call you, contact you. This is something what you know, what you want to get out. Once you have that idea, then I would become exceedingly knowledgeable about Google Analytics, so that you understand it like your five fingers. When you're looking at it, you can say, okay, this is what I can improve. And then, last but not least, at the same time, use other software which gives you an idea of, if you look at, for instance, your website, you know, it gives you an idea of which part of the website, you know, which is popular part, which is less popular, where do people leave, you know, the so-called heat maps. And there's plenty of software available, you know, in that area. Unfortunately, nothing is worth mentioning which is free. So, but most of the software nowadays, they have a freemium model, so at least you can try it before you buy it.
Which one do you suggest? Which is a good one?
I don't know if I can sort of say that which one is. There's a lot of Crazy Egg is something I have used a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Clicky is another one, but there's probably there's a lot of new software always coming out of the market. I tend to like to test. If somebody's asking me to test software, and I can certainly do that. I'll most happily say yes, of course. These are just well known, but once again, you know your company. No one knows your business as well as you do. But this is something you can at least get started, and then you can fine tune your idea of, you know, what you want to improve.
Mm-hmm. So I have been doing a little bit of investigation before our chat, and I've looked online for you, but you are not easy to find online. There's not a lot of content from you online. How do you get clients?
Oh, I get clients in two different ways. Either they are referrals, or I go after them myself. So either they know me, and then they come back to me, or I want to work with them, and I feel like, you know, I have something to offer, so I go after them.
How do you go after them? What do you use?
I use various methods, but one of my most common method is, I call it cold emailing. So I don't particularly, you know the person, but I feel like it's an interesting company. I feel like, you know, that person is an interesting person, and I would like to work with that person. Something like that. So I don't always have the benefit of knowing the people. So I send a cold email, and I don't sell anything on my email. I'm just trying to make a connection, saying that, hey, I noticed probably someone who's on LinkedIn. So I send them a very honest message saying, I don't know you, you don't know me, but, you know, I would like to expand my LinkedIn network, and it would be interesting if you could accept my LinkedIn connection request, something like that. So it's a tailor-made message, and it tells that, you know, we don't know each other. I'm not your friend. I don't even try to sell you anything, but it would be nice to connect. And then if the person accepts that LinkedIn connection request, then I send a thank you message saying, thank you very much, and I look forward to reading your post and articles and comments on LinkedIn. And then I start looking at, you know, how on earth I could actually either, you know, have a face-to-face meeting, if that's possible, at least talk to them.
Hmm.
And that is something that I very carefully looked at what the company is doing, because I have to add value. I have to have something to say which clearly adds value. And that simply means that I have to have some kind of a idea of their business and their service, or their business, their product or service, and also who works there, and probably try to understand what does that company wants to do in the next, let's say, 3 months or 6 months or in a year's time. So that's how I approach companies. So I put everything, all my information is on Excel spreadsheet. It's all color-coded. And then I know which stage I am. Is that, am I moving forward? Am I staying the same? Are these people interested to talk to me? So I have this idea that if I find something interesting, an interesting person or an interesting company, I go and talk to them. I want to, I'm so curious that I want to know what they do and would I fit in? Would I have something to offer? Sometimes I clearly, you know, think about that. I don't know if I have anything to offer or I doubt myself. But at the same time, that's just a negative thoughts. And I say, yeah, I at least if I make a contact, I make a contact. I want to know what they think about, you know, where they want to be.
Mm.
I'm a little bit bold and brave in that way that a lot of companies, of course, say, and who are you and what on earth you think you have to offer? But that doesn't bother me at all. That doesn't bother me at all. Like I said, my mother taught me so well. So I still continue the conversation. You know, I still, the most polite way. I don't want to be a pest. But at the same time, I let them know that I am interested in the company. And I am asking the questions which I'm looking for answers. So if they have a product or service, I'm actually using the product or service. I simply ask something about the product or the service.
And if they don't accept your initial invitation to connect on LinkedIn, what do you do then?
I just continue. I might give them a little break, and some other time I might continue. If it's something like I feel like I really don't, the answer is exceedingly rude or impolite. Maybe I say, okay, maybe there's someone else I can work with, because I don't think so. There's shortage of businesses. If you are offering services which is related to growth, what is it that you actually helping companies to do? Most likely making more money, increasing their sales, finding more clients. Any company would be interested in this. There's no company who's going to say, well, you know, that's not what we are interested in, because that's the core nature of any business. If they're not interested in growing, good question is what is exactly are they doing?
Hmm.
So any company is interested in principle of, you know, improving their current situation. The question is how do they want to do that? And also people know, particularly business owners know, that it's not that easy to find salespeople, because it's a particular type of the person who likes to be in the front line. And the front line, what I mean by that, you will get these rejections and you still have to continue and you still have to be able to get back to these clients. And even if they say no to you, you still have to get back to these clients in a way that people actually like you. You know, you have to find a way to talk to people, which is as if you are putting your finger in a candle flame, and people say, why would you do that? That's just pure pain. But you have to see that you are giving, you're providing the value, but the thing is that you learn to do that in a way that the company, your potential clients either understand that, yeah, that is an interesting thing to do, or they just don't share your point of view or your vision. And that's okay too. You just have to leave them alone and maybe come back in a year's time and see if there's some new leadership. Do they see things in a different way? If not, there's plenty of other opportunities. You just go after them.
Yeah. So I really understand that the first part of the interview that we talked about your father and mother and how they influenced both sides of you about sales in the direct way and also first listen, then speak, has had a lot of influence on how you work today and how persistent you are in doing sales. And I understand now why perseverance is an important factor for an entrepreneur. So that's really great. Thank you.
Well, I don't sometimes, when we talk about an elevator pitch, for instance. I'm not the greatest person to go and introduce myself and say, hey, my name is that, this is what I do, and I could actually make sure that you can make a couple of millions more, and here's my card, and can I call you, and here's my Twitter tweet, and you know, would you like to retweet that, or something like that. I personally take my time to look at the people I want to work with. Once again, here comes the example I mentioned early on, the famous how do you sell this pen? You know, you can sell the pen, but is the person going to be, you know, if you're trying to sell a pen to someone who can't even write, you know, what good is that pen going to do? The person has no need for a pen. You know, if they can read or write, or particularly write, what are they going to need a pen for? So it is. I believe it's much better to do your homework, and find out the people you want to work with, or the companies you want to work with, instead of just being in an elevator or somewhere in with someone and saying, you know, this is what I can do to you, because you don't know. At the end of the day, you don't know what you can do to them. You're gonna make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, and these are the lessons everybody who's any good at doing anything has to learn. The only way we learn is just making these mistakes. You have to be good at failing before you can succeed. And it's hard to say, because it feels like as if you don't even try, you're willing to fail. It's not that you're willing to fail, but if you don't fail, how can you succeed?
That's a good point. Thank you very much, Christina, for your insights and showing me and the audience how important it is to decide who your client is and take your time to get to know them, so that you can find out what's the best way that you can help them. So it's not about the product or the service, it is about the person.
That's what I believe. And thank you so much, Erno, to provide me this opportunity to talk about myself. It doesn't happen every day. So thank you so much for organizing this interview. And I hope you and your audience will find something useful in what I said, something valuable.
I'm sure of that. So just to make sure that people can find you, and if they want to connect with you, how can people find you?
People can actually, I believe people can look at my LinkedIn profile and contact me using LinkedIn. That would be my preferred method. So www.linkedin.com/IN/ChristinaJS. And just in case, you know, there's someone who is not actually yet on LinkedIn, but wants to contact me, here's my email address. ChristinaIsHired@gmail.com. And Christina is with K, K-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, is hired, I-S and hired, H-I-R-E-D.
Thank you very much, Christina, and talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Okay, now back to Dutch. Dat was het gave gesprek met Christina. Ik hoop dat jij het net zo waardevol vond als ik. En ook iets hebt opgepikt voor sales, hoe je dat zou kunnen veranderen voor bedrijf. Je vindt de namen en links die we noemen in het artikel dat bij deze uitzending hoort. Ga daarvoor naar ernohanning.nl/show137. Wil je nou automatisch deze opnames in jouw telefoon krijgen telkens als er een nieuwe is? Vergeet dan niet te abonneren op de Erno Hanning Show. Bijvoorbeeld in iTunes. Je gaat naar iTunes op je telefoon of je gaat naar Stitcher als je een Android hebt. Je zoekt op de Erno Hanning Show en je klikt op het plusje of het vinkje om te abonneren op mijn podcast. Daarmee laat je ons zien, mij en mijn team, dat wij de juiste dingen doen en dat jij van deze show houdt. Dankjewel alvast. Heb je vragen, opmerkingen, reacties over deze aflevering of over de show überhaupt? Stuur me een e-mail. Dat kan naar podcast@ernohanning.nl en ik hoor er graag van jou. Laat van je horen. Dankjewel en tot de volgende.
Dankjewel voor het luisteren naar de Erno Hanning Show op ernohanning.nl.